Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll talk about a story that just continues to come up. But we're asking this question right now. I went on with my guy, Andrew Filippone, and he asked me if it meant more that the Chiefs scored 30 points on Sunday Night Football or held the Lions to 17 points. And honestly, I had not thought about it through that perspective. So I'm going to read you two texts, and they're on opposite sides of this thing. CDOT, I think it means more that the Chiefs scored 30 points. The defense has been elite for some years now, but we've been waiting for the offense to come around. Someone else says it means 100% more for the defense. The Lions' offense was healthy and full of weapons. It's not like the defense that was missing starters, so I think it's a big deal for the defense. That's what I think makes it a really, really good question. I'm going to side with the offense here for this. I think their offense right now, for the first time in 2 years, seems to have a real heavyweight punch. I think for the first time, the offense really has the ability to put somebody on their back when I don't think they had that the last couple of years. I think one of the reasons why the Chiefs played so many one-score games last year, why so many games went to the wire, is their offense didn't really have the ability to put you away. I think they can do that right now. I think when the Chiefs are up 7 and their defense forces a punt and they get the ball back, I think the Chiefs can go down the field and score and make this a 14-point game that can put it out of reach. I saw them do that against the Lions on Sunday night. So I think that's the story. I think you can look right now and say every facet of their offense has improved from week 1 to now. They've gotten better quarterback play. Now, they've always had great quarterback play, but you understand. Mahomes' last 4 games, he has played at an MVP level. They are running the football more effectively. It's still not a great rushing attack, but it's certainly better than it was the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Their wide receiver room is more complete than it was in week 1. Travis Kelce is playing well right now. And their offensive line has really found cohesiveness with or without Josh Simmons. So I'm looking at the offense right now and the development, and now you are scheduled to add your most dynamic player to that offense. At least for me, the answer is the offense. So that's what I'm siding with. Them scoring 30 on the Lions. Where are you at, Rob?
You know, it's funny. We see this differently. I think the answer is the defense. I understand everything you're saying about the offense, and I don't want to make it seem like it's 100% defense, 0% offense. I think it's like 51-49, so I agree with your point on the offense, but I lean defense for this reason. The defense has been a little bit up and down this year. We talked in that first week that they got embarrassed by the Chargers. Then they locked up. They played well against the Eagles. They played well against the Ravens. They played well against the Giants. It felt like, oh man, the defense has turned a corner. They're back to being the defense we thought they'd be. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, who you're the one who always tells me Trevor Lawrence is not that good. And I don't disagree with you. They scored 30 plus on you. Like the Jags. This is not Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith slinging the ball around. This is Trevor Lawrence and, you know, Mr. Drops, Brian Thomas Jr. They scored 30 on you. And a play in that game had fans, media, everyone questioning the effort of your defense, specifically one defensive player. And then in the first quarter, the Lions looked like, hey, they're the best offense in the NFL. The Chiefs could be in trouble. But then the defense locked in, and that is the best offense in the NFL, I believe, in the Detroit Lions. And they held them down. Matt Verderman had the stat. Their last 6 possessions, they scored 7 total points. That's unheard of for the Lions offense in 2025. So I think the defense is more important because I feel like this was a step toward being a more consistent defense, and they did it against the cream of the crop offense in the Detroit Lions.
Someone just texted this in. Guys, I think this is the first year that both the offense and defense can be elite, and this could possibly be the first year where I feel we have to worry about special teams. I think that is a legitimate argument. Now, Dave Tobe had a press conference earlier today and essentially said, we're going to figure this thing out, and when the games get most important, Harrison Butker is going to be Harrison Butker. I would say that Harrison Butker right now is one of the few things that you're worried about. Now, maybe you would argue it's pass rush, but I will just continue to maintain this. They had their chance to fix the pass rush in the offseason. You are just not adding a quality get to the quarterback pass rusher in October, early November. That's just not how this thing works. Teams are just not letting those guys go. Not on sale. You're paying a premium if you're going to go get somebody that can go get after the other team's quarterback. So right now, if you're looking for areas in which I think the Chiefs could possibly improve, you can improve at running back. We'll see if the Chiefs end up making a trade. They've been linked to a couple of running backs. You could technically improve at kicker, but they also, they have the highest paid kicker in the National Football League. So I don't think the Chiefs are bringing in another kicker. Like, outside of running back, I kind of think this is the team that the Chiefs plan on rolling with. Now, an injury could possibly change things. But if you're asking me right now, if the Chiefs don't make a move at running back, where else do you see them making a move? I just don't see them making a move anywhere else. I think this is the team.
I could see them bringing a Melvin Ingram type of pass rusher. Remember that? I think it was 2021. I think it was the other Bengals. Remember they brought in Melvin Ingram for like a sixth-round pick? Melvin Ingram was toiling away with the Steelers that year, because that was the year Mike Tomlin had the quote that they want volunteers, not hostages or whatever. And the Chiefs brought Melvin Ingram in. They added to their pass rush. It wasn't a high acquisition cost, all those things. I could see that type of addition on the defensive line.
Yeah,
but you're
I just
right.
don't
Nothing
think that
premium.
That player, I just think if you're adding that kind of player, and I'm with you, I think that would be the kind of player that they would potentially add. Melvin Ingram had one sack with the Chiefs in 9 games. He had one sack. Now, if you're saying, could I see them adding somebody who we hit the breaking news sounder and people get all excited about, and then when he leaves, we then look at his stats and was like, he didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, that was Terrell Suggs. I mean, I remember back when Terrell Suggs was available, and every team that was decent that year put in a waiver claim to go get Terrell Suggs, and the Chiefs just ended up winning the waiver claim. Terrell Suggs didn't really help this team. Like, I'm saying, like, to me, there is not a single realistic player that the Chiefs could trade for that you think bumps them up a letter grade with wherever you think they're passing.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass rushes. If you think their pass rush is a C-, there is not a single move they're going to make that's going to get their pass rush to a B- or a B. They can go from somebody that gets them from a C- to a C, but I think that's as high as you could potentially get when it comes to that position. Teams are just not letting go a guy that can wreak havoc on their defensive line in November, especially when you have to assume now with how many good teams or competitive teams there are in the league. I mean, right now it's a buyer's market now at this point, or I guess a seller's market, because there's so few teams that are completely out of it. And there's so many teams that are going to convince themselves that one wide receiver, that one corner, that one pass rusher could be the thing that creates a separation between you and the rest of the league.
I mean, to be fair, doesn't that same thing exist at running back? Like, for an impact guy. Like, I know the Jets stink, and everyone thinks the Jets are going to have a fire sale. But it's not like the Chiefs are going to be the only team to call the Jets about Breece Hall. Like, that point about everyone being kind of in the wash right now and that parity reigning supreme.
I don't see any scenario in which they go get Breece Hall.
I was just naming a
– No, I'm with you. I guess I just know Breece Hall is going to be a very popular player that gets named, and that's why I say that. I mean, Breece Hall is owed a contract at the end of this season. So I'm just asking you guys, do you guys see a scenario in which the Chiefs, in theory, are going to have to overpay for Breece Hall because he's a very productive running back, and then they're going to pay him in the offseason? And you know, I've been banging the drum for running back as much as anybody. I don't think they should go trade for Breece Hall. That time has passed when it comes to that. Now, if you go get the kid from Miami that you can get for a sixth-round pick, that's a failed first or second-round player, and you see if he's got a little bit of juice for you, then that's perfectly fine.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.